Hebrews 12 and verse 21. This is a little easier than reading Hebrew, isn't it, Brother Randall? A little bit easier than reading Hebrew. Kai?
Kai.
Who told?
Who told?
Boberon?
Boberon.
Ain?
Ain.
Tol?
Tol.
Pontizomenon?
Pontizomenon.
Moses?
Moses.
Epan?
Epan.
Ekphobos?
Ekphobos.
Amy?
Amy.
Kai?
Kai.
Enthromos.
Enthromos.
Scary words. Scary words in this verse. All right. Scary, scary words in this verse. And a little conjunction, thus or in this manner. Fearful. Look at that word, phoberon. We got our word fear or phobia out of this word right there. Phobia. Okay? Phobia. It means a terror. All right? Terrible. A potent. A prodigy. Okay? This is something that is terrifying, all right? And thus terrifying, it kept on being the thing appearing, all right? Not nominee singular neuter, present participle passive. Caused the thing, caused to be appearing, all right? Phantizomenon, all right? This is where we get our word phantom from it. Phantom. You know what a phantom is? What's a phantom? That's a spook. That's a spook. A spook. All right? Something that appears. All right? The thing appearing, a phantom, something that astonishes. All right? It comes from phantazo. All right? The English phantom, from phino, to appear. And phino, you can look that one up on page 421 in Analytical Greek Lexicon. And then it kept on being the thing appearing to Moses. All right? Moses means to draw out. That's from Hebrew, of course. All right? Moses. And he said, terrified I am, and trembling, all right? Terrified I am, ek phobos. He's struck out of his senses. He's absolutely scared out of his wits, okay? Here we have the word phobos again, and it's ek phobos. That ek phobos, that means it's worse than phobos, all right? Terrified, scared out of his wits. I'm continuing to be, and trembling, traumatized. We get a word entromos. We get the word traumatized from it. Have you ever been traumatized? All right, traumatized. Okay, that's what the word is. Entromos. Deuteronomy 9 and verse 19. We'll go back there and look at that. Deuteronomy 9 and verse 19. You got your Old Testament there, don't you, Bill? All right. Deuteronomy 9 and 19. This is what's taking place here. Israel was so afraid at Mount Sinai that they didn't want to face God at all, and they wanted Moses to go up there, and Moses was standing up there trembling. And he was scared out of his wits. Okay? Remember when Moses stood before the burning bush and Jehovah spoke to him out of the burning bush? Or he used the burning bush to get his attention, and then the Jehovah spoke to him in person. Scared him to death. All right? Now here he is. Jehovah speaking to him again. Are you there, Joanne? Are you there? All right. 9:19.
For I was afraid of the anger and the hot displeasure with which the Lord was angry with you to destroy you. But the Lord listened to me at that time also.
All right. Now, he went up on the mountains, and then after Israel sinned, while he was up there getting the law, okay, Israel sinned, that's when they made the golden calf and called it Jehovah, all right? They built them a, well, what they did is they carved out a wooden calf, and then they pounded plates of gold over it, okay? Remember, the Ark of the Covenant, it was wood with gold over it, okay? Here's a great, now they hadn't even received that yet, but here now they're going to make a golden calf and they're going to call its name Jehovah. This is the God that took us out of Egypt. All right? And danced around it. Now talk about an insult. All right? What was one of the first commands? Thou shalt not make any graven image. All right? You shall not bow down to it. And it was wood and it was gold, just like the real images. Okay, it was a false image. All right, so that's what they did. All right, now. Now 12 and verse 22. Here we come to an extremely controversial passage of Scripture. Now, I want you to understand something else, that these verses aren't inspired, okay? They just run together. It's all one big long sentence. So it just carries on. 12:22 and 12:23 are not two different verses. I mean, they are in your Bibles, but really they aren't in the original language, okay? It's run on. Allah,
Allah,
pros ele li thate. Sion, ore, kai, pole, theu, zantos, Jerusalem. That's Jerusalem, of course. Iparaneu. Kai, Meriasin, Angelon, Panegire. That's found one time in the Septuagint, one time in the New Testament. That's a very unusual word. All right? Right there. All right, now as that you have approached Mount Zion. Now who was in Mount Zion? Jesus. The real personified in the flesh Jehovah that walked among them. Now, Moses was afraid of the Bontizo, of the image that he saw of him. But what he's trying, the writer of the book of Hebrews is telling us here, fellas, Moses saw a facsimile, but we saw the real thing. They saw the real thing there, all right? This was the real thing that walked on Mount Zion. This was the real Jehovah in flesh. All right? Kai, hologos, sarx, aganato, and the Word, and the Jehovah flesh He became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten God. God begat Himself. All right? The only begotten God. All right? Now, that's who walked on Mount Zion. Now, it was a whole lot more fearful thing to stand in Jesus' presence than it was Moses up on Mount Sinai. The God, the Creator of heaven, Moses stood before the Creator of heaven, but here on Mount Zion in Jerusalem stands the Messiah. This is the one that's going to whip the whole world one of these days. That's who He is. It's a lot more fearful thing to stand in the presence of the Lord Himself in flesh than it was back there on Mount Sinai. Much more fearful. But ye have approached Zion, the mountain, the city of God, living Jerusalem, heavenly, to myriads of angels. And then there was at Panegire. All right? Now, there are different interpretations of this scripture. I'm going to tell you what I think it means. It's not broken down, okay? Not broken down. Now, let's go back in the Amplified Bible. We got a good reader here with us tonight. 12 and verse 21 and 22. 12 and verse 21 and 22 there. Would you do that?
In fact, so awful and terrifying was the phenomenal sight that Moses said, I am terrified, aghast, and trembling with fear. But rather you have approached unto Mount Zion, even to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless multitudes of angels in festal gathering.
Okay. Now, but ye have approached Zion, the real mountain of God. The word ore, mountain there, it could mean the government. When Jesus walked in Jerusalem on His triumphant entry, He took the reins of His kingdom in hand. He took the reins of the kingdom away from Israel and took it on Himself because He was the Messiah and He was the King of Israel. Okay? He was that one. All right? And it's looking forward to the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, the old Jerusalem, it doesn't make any difference anymore as far as that goes. Jesus was there. He came there. But now we're going to look ahead. Now, what happened here is these Hebrews, these Judaizers, were despising the person of Jesus. Now, if Moses was afraid of Him, And he only saw an image, an appearance of him on Mount Sinai. And they had the real person walking into Jerusalem. Okay? How much more fearful would it be to fall in the hands of the living God than just an appearance? All right? This is the real person. This is the one who became flesh. From the promise of eternity past, God promised that he would become flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. But when he came, became person, here is the creator of the heavens and the earth. That's the one who created the heavens and the earth. All right? The city of God. All right? Living. The living God. Jerusalem, heavenly. And it says, and myriads, myriasin, myriads. It can mean an unknown, it's like a rethmon. We use the word rethmon, it means something that's not be able to calculated by arithmetic, okay? This word here maybe means a number that's uncalculable. It means at least 10,000. It's used for 10,000 in some places, all right? That word myrias, it means at least, it means a vast multitude, okay? A vast multitude of what? Angels. All right. Now in New Jerusalem, in the New Jerusalem that's coming to pass, the ones that these guys are missing the boat to go to, okay? Who's going to be in New Jerusalem? There's going to be tens of thousands of angels there. All right. What does the name angel mean? Malek in Hebrew and angel in the New Testament, it means messengers. All right. Or attendants. That's what angels are, is attendants. Handmade, so to speak. Angels serve us today, don't they? As children of God. They serve us. We talk about our guardian angels. Okay? Myriads of angels. Some of the same ones that kept me alive all these years. Pray for me. My kidney is killing me. I don't know if I got a kidney stone in it or what it is. But many times I should have died in my life, but the Lord had a purpose for me. And he's kept me alive thus far. And I've tried to do what he wants me to do. Myriads of angels. And then it was Poner Gerê. What does it say about that Poner Gerê, Joanne?
In what verse?
1222, the last thing there.
Oh, the countless multitudes of angels and festal gatherings.
Okay, that word festival gathering there.
Many joyful assembly.
Joyful assembly. Okay. Many people, and I kind of think this. Now, it could be a festival gathering of the angels, but I don't think that's what it's talking about. Okay? To be honest with you. I think that's talking about the family of God right there. The family of God. The whole family of God. Everybody's been born again. Okay? So now we got a whole bunch of angels, and we got the family of God. Okay? The family of God. Now, not everybody in the family of God is going to be in the bride. And we're going to see that in just a moment. Just in the next verse, okay? The bride is those faithful members in true New Testament churches. And that's a special relationship with the Lord himself, okay? 1223 now. Let's look at that one. Chi. Ecclesia. Pro-to-tokon. Apa-geg-tokon. Gra-me-known. Okay, in Uranois. Kai. Krite. Theo. Ponton. Kai. Numasi. Dikaion. Tete-le-o-minon. Kai, Diathekes, Nias, Mesete, Esu, Kai, Hamate, Rontismu, Kreton, Lalonte, Para, Ton, Abel. All right, Abel, what it's talking about. And it says now we have a great assembly of angels. We have a great assembly. They call it festive gathering or whatever it is, but this is the kingdom. This is the family of God, okay? And then we have, and the assembly. Okay? The assembly. What is that? That's the church. This is the true, this is the bride, okay? You can put bride above that if you want to. The bride. And then we have the word prototokon. Prototokon. Now, in the Bible, in Exodus 4:22, it calls Israel God's firstborn. Okay? It calls Israel God's firstborn. But I think this assembly here and this firstborn ones are the same. All right? This assembly of firstborn ones. This is different than just firstborn. Okay? It's not talking about people that are born again. That's the bunch over here on the other. About Panair Geru. Okay? Gere. Those are born again. But these are firstborn. Now, in Latin, the Latin term is prima genitus. Prima genitus. Okay? And the legal term for this is primogeniture. Okay? Primogeniture. And what it means possessed of a peculiar privilege and birthright. Okay? The firstborn has high privileges. Now, the Lord talks about His church as His heir. Who is the administrator of the kingdom in the world today? The churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel threw that heirship away, didn't they? Did they or not? God took it away from them when He walked in there into the in Jerusalem when He rode in there on a donkey. And they accepted Him. They said, Hosanna on the highest. What were they doing? They were accepting Him as the King of Israel, weren't they? Herod was worried. The Jews were worried. And the Jews said what? In common day vernacular, what would they have said today? The Jews. Let's kill Him. Let's get rid of Him. He's going to change our religion. And He's going to take our kingdom away from us. Why? They had the Sanhedrin, didn't they? They had the high priest, they had the Levites, they had all of this business. They were running the show, okay? They even had a puppet king on there. The puppet king was not even the right person. Jacob is the heir of God, not Esau. Herod was Esau's descendant. Now, how in the world do you think, if you'd have been a self-respecting Jew, Joanne, would you have ever accepted Esau's descendant as the king of Israel? Do you think you could have ever done that? Jacob? Jacob or Esau? Which one was the heir? Jacob. The name Israel is Israel in it. Is that the name for Esau? That's Edom. Edom. Okay. So we have this. What self-respecting Jew would have bowed down and to Herod? But what did Herod give them? The master builder, Herod the Great. What did he give them? Remember Dakota? The master builder, Maryland. What did Herod give them? The temple. The most magnificent temple that was ever built. It was more magnificent than Solomon's temple. It was greater and bigger. All right? He had been building it for a long time. He built great masterpieces of architecture. Remember Herod? The Masada. All right? Masada. That was Herod's fortress also. All right. So they accepted Herod because he built them a temple. All right. And he was the wrong lineage. Joseph was of the correct lineage. And in the book of Matthew, it tells us the lineage of Joseph. Joseph should have been the king. When Joseph died, Jesus was the prototokon. The firstborn heir. Okay? The firstborn heir. It's different than just a family member. All right? It's different than just a family member. The family members were all heirs, weren't they? To some extent. But in a special privilege as a prototokon, there's only one like that. Okay? Only one of those. The firstborn ones, genitive plural. Heirs. Page 355, if you want to get that one. And this word comes from protos and tikto. All right? The first created. When a man has a child, his firstborn son is the prototokon. All right? You remember the story about Henry VIII? Henry VIII, the king of England? And he had all those wives, and he had a few of them beheaded and tortured a few of them, dismissed a few and put them in dungeons. And what the dungeon was, the Tower of London, basically. He had married, when he was a very young boy, he had married his older brother's wife because he died and left her, and he was supposed to marry her, and he had a child, okay? But he kept marrying these women. He wanted to marry Anne Boleyn, didn't he? Remember Anne Boleyn? Little Anne Boleyn? He wanted to marry her so bad, but what did she have? What was her firstborn? A little girl. So he accused her of adultery, had her head chopped off, and married him another one. She had a girl. He finally kept getting rid of these until one of them, now the firstborn, the first one that opens the womb, okay, he wanted a male heir, not a female heir, okay? He wanted a male heir. But only the oldest one was the heir. So he kept divorcing them, and finally he got him one. I think his name was Edward. The boy was born finally. And so he put him on the throne. Elizabeth later on ended up on the throne. Mary, Bloody Mary. That was her mother that he had divorced. Catherine of Aragon. He got rid of her. And that was his older brother's wife. And she was a strong Catholic. And the only reason why he started the Catholic Church, or the Church of England, because he wanted a divorce. And the Pope wouldn't give him a divorce, so he started his own church. So he could be the head of the church and give himself a divorce. Yeah. That's the way he solved that problem.
If the Pope would have let him have a divorce, a few of the women would still have their head.
Yeah. And the assembly of the firstborn ones, having been enrolled, apogegramenon. We got a word grammar from that. Apographo. That means to write from. It means written down. Written down. Having been written down in the heavens. When did God write all of the saved's names down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Way back yonder, in eternity past, didn't he? All right. When did he write down the names of the bride? Way back yonders, too. There's where this is said, right here. This is the bride now. We got the family of God over there, all those that are in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's this festive gathering over here. They're the ones that are guests at the wedding. Guests at the wedding. The angels are guests at the wedding, but there's only one bride, and she's a prototokon. All right? The bride. This is the bride of Christ, and she is the assembly. All right? Having been enrolled in the heavens, and the judge, and judge to God. Okay? Judge to God of all, and to spirits of just ones having been made perfect. All right? And the covenant new. Mediator, Jesus, and the blood of sprinkling, the better thing speaking than even Abel's blood. Abel's blood still speaks today, doesn't it? He has a great witness, but Jesus' blood is holier and higher. 12:23. Joanne, you want to read that in that Amplified Bible?
And to the church assembly of the firstborn who are registered as citizens in heaven, and to the judge who is God of all, and to the spirits of the righteous, the redeemed in heaven, who have been made perfect.
All right. Now we have all of these. We've got the family of God. We've got the bride there. And we've got the new covenant, the Diathekes Neos. It's brand new, fresh covenant. Okay? See, these Jews wanted to go back to the old covenant. And the writer of Hebrews keeps telling them this covenant is better than the old covenant. Much better. Okay? A new mediator. Who was the mediator in the Old Testament? The high priest. Moses was a mediator for a while, wasn't he? Okay? But we have a better mediator, a better go-between. Mesiti. That means go-between. Page 264. That means to reconcile disagreeing parties. Jesus. and to blood a sprinkling, rontismo. That's where you get the word rontismo right there. Now, they took and sprinkled the blood, didn't they? On the altar, all right, the brazen altar, and then they took it in once a year and sprinkled it right there at the foot of the Ark of the Covenant, all right? And that's where Jesus' blood went, right on the real one, okay? Rontizo. The better thing, kriton, that's a comparative right there. Better speaking than. Now, Abel's blood still speaks today because he was a righteous man. But I'm going to tell you what, Jesus' blood was 10,000 times more powerful and righteous than Abel's blood. That's Jehovah's blood. Jehovah, he who shall become. And God became flesh that he could redeem us. 12 and verse 25. Blepete. May. Pareteste. Tone. Lalonta. A. Gar. Ekainoe. Uk. Ek. A. Figon. Epi. Gase. Pareteisamenoe. Tone. Prematizonta. Poli. Malon. Hemes. Hoi. Ton. Op. Uranon. Apostre. Po. Minoi. Okay. Let's go back and look at this. Blete. All right. Ye see. All right. You look. See. Pay attention. Second person plural, present indicative active. Keep on doing this, fellas. It's what he said. You people got your eye off of Jesus now and back on the law again. Not you may refuse. All right. The one speaking. All right. Now, we have a lot of words for speaking. Okay. In the Old Testament, if you go back, it talks about the word of Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1 and 1. It's the debar. Okay. Debar. Now, the word debar means to line up in a row. That's kind of like Lego in the Greek language, okay? You can line up soldiers in a row, you can line up fence posts in a row, or you can line up words in a row to communicate, okay? That's the word, yet you may refuse, all right? All right? Eitomai, the one speaking, la lonta. Now, this is a different word. This is not Lego, people. Lego means to line words up. Laleo, that's what this word comes from. It means to be able to speak with a human voice, with lips, tongues, teeth, guttural sounds, throat sounds. And when you're speaking Hebrew, by the way, boy, I mean they use it all. Sounds we can't even use. But Jesus spoke in human language because he was human, wasn't he? It wasn't just the Word, the Logos of God. He spoke to us. God visited us, and he spoke to us in our own language. All right? Look, you can't refuse the one speaking, since for those not they escaped upon the earth, having refused the first warning, or the one warning, much more we, the ones, from the heavens, are turning from. Let's go back and look at this now. Speaking, they escaped. That's ex, figon. That means to escape out of prison. Out of being incarcerated. All right? And having refused, para etamai, teomai. And then the warning, krematizona, krematizo. All right? Warnings. That means to cry out a warning. Stop! What did when a leper got out in public, what was a leper supposed to do?
Unclean.
Brother Bill.
Supposed to yell unclean.
Unclean. Cry out a warning. That's what this word means, to cry out a warning. Okay? Much more, we, the ones, the one from the heavens, turning from. We're turning from the one from the heavens. Joanne, you want to read 25 for us?
See to it that you do not reject him or refuse to listen to and heed him who is speaking to you now. For if they, the Israelites did not escape when they refused to listen and heed him who warned and divinely instructed them here on earth, revealing with heavenly warnings his will, how much less shall we escape if we reject and turn our backs on him who cautions and admonishes us from heaven?
All right. Now he keeps telling these Jews, quit being Judaizers. The Old Testament was a powerful word. But we have the God of the Old Testament walking in flesh. He walked among us and gave his life for us. He took his own blood, not the blood of bulls and goats, but the blood of the Son of God, the precious blood of the Son of God, and sprinkled it once for all. That's it. One time. That's it. We don't have any other sacrifices. If they were to go back into Judaism, what would they take to God for a sacrifice since God made the ultimate sacrifice? What are they going to do? Anything is an insult to God, isn't it? After God's Son died on the cross of Calvary and was the real sacrifice that all these look forward to, they're the shadows of the real thing. Once that had happened, what are you going to come to God with? Are you going to call the Son of God down again and sacrifice him on Calvary again? Put him to open shame again? Can't do it. He said, get back in here, get back in the church, and straighten up people, and leave Judaism behind where it belongs. We got a lot of Jews today that want to be Jews. What they need to do is come to the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ and submit to them. They want to witness to other Jews, fine. They got Messianic synagogues all over the whole country now. But I'm going to tell you something. The Lord left His church here. They better respect His wishes. He made a difference between all that already. 12:26. U, A, Bone, Tain, Gain, Esaliusen, Tote, Nin, De, Epe, Galete, Legon, Ete, Hapox, Ego, Siso, Ooh, Monon, Tain, Gain, Allah, Kai, Ton, Iranon. All right. Of whom, that's a little relative pronoun, genitive singular right there, starting off this verse. The voice, the sound, all right? The voice, the sound, the earth, it shook. All right? From the voice of God up on Mount Sinai, the earth shook and quaked around them, didn't it? And trembled. Some of these cars going down the road with these bass drums in them. What do you call those things? Those bass, those what, subwoofers. That's it. Subwoofers. You can hear them thumping along. Well, I'm going to tell you, one time, Mount Sinai shook with the voice of God. The rocks were tumbling down the mountain because of the vibration of the powerful voice of God. Okay? And the earth, it has shook. It happened. Third person singular, perfect indicative passive, all right? It has was caused to have shook. It had been caused to shake. All right? Then, now, but, we could verse the conjunctive particle, he has promised. Look at that one, third person singular, perfect indicative passive. He has promised this. And this is kind of a, if you have a Hebraism in the New Testament, here it is. We know that the writer of the book of Hebrews didn't know much Hebrew, but he uses the Hebraism right here. This is what you call a future perfect. Okay? A future perfect. In the Old Testament, it spoke of prophecy as if it had already been fulfilled. All right? It spoke of prophecy as if it had already been fulfilled. And here we have it brought over into the Greek language now. Future perfect, basically. He has promised, saying, yet, hapax, once I shall shake, not monon only. Mono means once or only. The land, or the earth. All right? The land. Haaretz, in Hebrew, the land. But, strong adversative conjunctive. Conjunction there. Page 15, if you want to look that one up. Strong adversative conjunction. Also, a conjunction, but right here, normally chi is a conjunction, but right here is a cumulative particle. Okay? Also, ton eranon. Also, the heavens. Now, Joanne, what does it say there in that Amplified Bible?
And at Mount Sinai, his voice appears, but now he has given a promise that once more I will shake and make tremble not only the earth, but also the starry heavens.
All right, he's going to shake the heavens. He's not only going to shake the earth. Now, the earth, it says during the tribulation period over here, in this period of time, it says all the mountains are going to be leveled down. The valleys are going to be moved. Everything on earth, the earth is going to shake, but it said also the heavens will shake. Also the heavens will shake. At what? The power of God. Esa Lusin, all right? Esa Lusin. He's going to shake it. All right? He has promised to shake the earth, saying, once I shall shake not only the earth, but the heavens. The heavens. The starry heavens. The earth is, everything is going to shake at the voice of God. All right. 12:27. To de ete. Hypox. Deloi. Tain. Tone. Salu Minon. Okay. Metathesin. Hos. Pepoi Minon. Hina. Mene. Ta. Me. Salu Omina. All right, let's go back and look at this one now. Moreover, the phrase, yet once he declares, of the things being shaken, going to be removed, going to be placed aside as the things having been made, in order that it may remain the things not being shaken. Some things God's going to shake and some things God's going to remove. What do you think He's going to remove over here? At this great shaking here and then over here. There's two different times of it. He's going to bring everything under His complete control in His millennial kingdom. And then at the end of the millennial kingdom, He's going to just thrash the present earth and heavens and renew it. Isn't He? We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. A new heaven and a new earth. Right over here, 2 Peter 3:10, Revelation 21, and 1 Corinthians 2:9, we're going to have a new heaven and earth. And the old one's going to dissolve. It's going to be refined like gold. Now, you might have a 10-carat gold ring or 8-carat gold ring or earrings or anything else. And even 18-carat gold. How much gold is there in 18-carat gold? 75%. 75. It's 0.750. 75%. In a 18-carat gold, well, here's an 18-carat gold bezel on my watch. That's only 75% gold. You melt that down, and the dross, the amalgamate that's with it, is going to float up. This earth has got a lot of sin in it. Even in here, there's sin in this world. God is going to refine it till it's purified and without sin over here.
And the new earth and the new heaven is not going to be like the old earth, right?
It's going to be without sin.
Yeah. Is it a temporary deal or is it...
That's eternal.
Eternal.
That's eternal.
Jesus is going to come down and rule on it.
I tell you what, we don't know near as much about this as we do over here.
I'm asking, Jim, are we going to be in heaven or on earth?
I think we'll be everywhere. Wherever we want to be. There's going to be, I believe, there is going to be an eternal New Jerusalem. But I think you like to go on vacations, I know. You're pretty nomadic. Okay? You're going to get to travel a lot back over there in that period of time. I think you can travel throughout the universe. But go look at Pluto one weekend and then... In her convertible. You won't even need that, will you?
I won't be wrinkled or bald-headed anymore.
You know how women, they get pretty and stay pretty, and women, men, they just look like we look. Yeah, we just,
I tell you, Jim, the older a woman gets, the better looking she gets.
Yeah.
The older she gets, the more money she makes. The more money she makes, the better looking she gets.
All right, let's look at this again. Joanne, you want to read 27?
Man's laughing, but he knows I'm speaking the truth.
Now, this expression, yet once more, indicates the final removal and transformation of all that can be shaken, that is, of that which has been created, in order that what cannot be shaken may remain and continue.
All right. That which the absolute substance of the heaven and the earth will be there. But there won't be any sin in it. It's going to be refined in the like pure gold. It's like taking your watches and everything else and refining and purifying it till it's pure 24 karat gold. All right, 999. Except this is going to be 100%. 100%. All right, one time. That's the word harpax there. And then he declares de lo o. That's an unusual word there. De lo o. And the things being shaken, that this is where we get the word, that word shaken there means like the rolling of the sea. Have you? No, you've never been out in the ocean much, have you, Bill? You refuse to go, don't you? You go out in the ocean. Maryland's seen some rough seas, haven't you, Maryland?
Yeah.
We've been out there in the ocean where the sea was just churning and turmoil. And Brother Dave, you've been out there a lot of times in the ocean when it was, a couple of times when it was churning and rolling. That's the word right there. That means to churn. To stir up, near to ruin. All right, that's what it means. And then the removal, metathason, that means to place across. He's going to take, the languages are beautiful. He's going to take the good substance here and place it across into the new heaven and earth. In other words, the creation that he had, the 24 karat gold part of the creation, is going to still be there. But the dross is going to be gotten rid of, okay? Some of it's going to be placed across as the things having been made, all right, in order that it may remain, and the things not shaken, that's the very foundation of the world, is going to be there. All right? He's just going to just purify everything, refine it. The whole heavens and the earth will be refined now. Refined. 1228. Dio, Basileon, Asaluton, Paralambontes, Ecomen, Karin, Di, Hes, Latriomen, Eurostos, all right. Tos. Tuthiu, Meta, Eulabaos, Kai, Deus. All right. Daniel 2:44 and Hebrews 13:15-21. These are cross references to this. And boy, we went over a lot of cross references in the last ones. Isaiah 34 and verse 4. Isaiah 54:10, 65:17. 1 Corinthians 7:3. And of course, the ones I read up here off the 2 Peter 3:10-13. Revelation 21. 1 Corinthians 2:9. All of these are cross-referenced to the last few verses. Wherefore, a kingdom unshakable. Look at that. Asaletum. Undisturbed. You can't disturb it, this kingdom. This kingdom cannot be moved. It cannot be shaken. Nothing. Those great big buildings down in Los Angeles that are earthquake proof. You know, they roll when the earth, they just roll. They're on rollers, great big tall pillars in the ground, deep pillars. They're standing on these things, a sound foundation, all right? And God's kingdom is unshakable. His kingdom is unshakable, all right? Receiving. May we have, may we lay hands hold or lay a hold of the grace through which we may serve well-pleasing to the God with devoutness and awe. All right? With devoutness and awe. The kingdom, unshakable, receiving that we may lay hold upon grace. There's law and there's grace. Why do we study the law? Why are we spending so much time in the Old Testament? So we can know what we're saved from. Isn't that something? So we can know what we're saved from. How would you like to have to go out every year and on the day of Yom Kippur and all the seven feasts of Israel and go through this all over and over and over again and only being forgiven for the moment? That's like when you used to go to church, Brother Bill. You didn't know if you died, you didn't know whether you were going to go to heaven. Repent and be happy at that moment, because if you died right then, maybe you'll get to heaven. That's the way it is on the day of Yom Kippur. All of your sins are forgiven for the moment. Next year, you've got to do it all over again. Boy, we are saved from that. We don't have to do that. We don't have to do it. A kingdom unshakable, that we can lay hands upon the grace of God. Over here it says the law, and then over here we have what? Grace. Why would you want to go back to the law if you have grace? Why would you want to be a lawyer if you've got grace, if you've got forgiveness? Why would you want to go back and kiss the shadow instead of the real person? The writer keeps making some of these, what we might call, ridiculous arguments. But he's trying to tell the Jews that, people, the Messiah came. You missed the boat. Don't go jump on the Judaistic boat again when the boat already came. Don't go back into that. You're in grace now. Forget the law. The things that the law taught was nothing but that the Messiah was coming. All of the Ark of the Covenant, the Tabernacle, every bit of that taught Jesus. And all of the, and the every offering there, everything taught about Jesus. The white fence around the Tabernacle, His righteousness. All the poles that are stood upon, it's held up by Him. Everything in the temple, in the Tabernacle itself, there was boards, wooden boards, covered with gold. Held up by rods. We look at all this. We see the brazen altar. The brazen altar stood for His sacrifice. The laver there were baptized unto Christ, aren't we? We're baptized unto Him because of Him. We don't put on Christ, basically. We don't get in Christ by baptizing, but because we are saved, we are baptized. And then we have privileges to walk into one of His churches. And there we have the Lord's Supper, and we have the light of the Holy Spirit. And there's when we get really serious, when we pray to God. That's what all these things in here. And then there, in that little perfect cube in there, is the type of heaven itself, where we have access into always. Not once a year, but every time we pray. We have access. Because He is our halosmos. He is our mercy seat. We get to go to God as if the high priest walked in and sprinkled blood on that mercy seat instantly, because we have the blood of Jesus Christ. He just keeps repeating this. For the kingdom unshakable. Joanne, you want to read that number 28?
Let us therefore, receiving a kingdom that is firm and stable and cannot be shaken, offer to God pleasing service and acceptable worship with modesty and pious fear and godly fear and awe.
Okay, godly fear, that's what that last word, awe, there is. Devoutness. Devoutness means handling yourself carefully. When you're saved, saved people act different than lost people. They should. If a person that is supposed to be saved doesn't act like he's saved, I mean, a saved person can go the wrong way. I can guarantee you that. We all have done that, haven't we? We can go the wrong way. But is God going to leave you there? He'll just scoot you right back in the line. He'll just scoot you right back in the line. A child of God can sin safely, or securely, that is, but safely never. God will spank us back in the line again. He spanks us back into line. We're His. All right? We are His. And we should handle ourselves carefully before Him. Because we are His. Not to get to be His. Because we are His. And that word Deus there, that means godly fear. Remember that deity resides in His churches. Deity. Deity. What did the Apostle Paul, what was he going to do down there in the book of Acts when he took off down to Damascus? You remember what he's going to do? He was going to go down there and find out where that church was meeting and go in there and kill them. The Apostle Paul wasn't handling himself very carefully, was he? God struck him blind, and he struck him blind to tell him, well, Paul, you are blind. You're spiritually blind. And you're not going to get your eyesight back until you wake up and open up your spiritual eyes. And, of course, that didn't happen until he was baptized. Now, this is quite a story. This is the one I'm going to end you with tonight. Okay? This is quite a story. Paul the Apostle was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was on the Sanhedrin court. All right? He was a master teacher. And he had baptized many proselytes, and those proselytes were baptized, and they had to die to their old religion, they had to die to their old nationality, and be baptized and raised anew, all right, to the national Israel. Now, what the Apostle Paul had to do is be baptized. He had to become unclean because he was unclean. He might have been a religious man, but he was unclean, and he had to die to his old Judaism and his old Phariseeism, and be raised anew as a new creature, as a new part of God's kingdom. And therefore, and when he was baptized, when he was dipped, what happened to him? What happened to him? He could see spiritually. The scales were taken from his eyes. He could see again. He was no longer blind. God had struck him blind because he was spiritually blind. And then after he was baptized, when he submitted to baptism, when he said, I'm unclean, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, he said, you must be born again. Nicodemus knew what being born again was. He had baptized many proselytes, and they had to be died. They had to be baptized and raised again. That's what they call being born again. They were baptized and died to their old nationality and raised anew. And that's what they call being born again. And he argued with Jesus, didn't he? He said, you're a master teacher of Israel. You don't know these things. How can I tell you spiritual things when you can't hear and you can't see? When you can't even understand earthly things, how can I tell you something spiritual? He was castigating him strongly in John, the third chapter. Because he was responsible. Well, there's where we are. We're going to start 12:29 next week. Is this the 18th?
Yeah.
18. Oh, nice. All right. Thank you very much for your attention. And we'll come back and look at more. And pretty soon we're going to be finished with the book of Hebrews. There's some good stuff in here. Whoever the man that wrote the book of Hebrews was, he's making all the arguments, telling those Jews to lay down that Judaism and come to Christ and stay there. No place else to go.
You know, I'm trying to remember where that verse is in the Bible. It says, those in the presence of the angels of God rejoice over one soul that repenteth. You know where that is? Did I quote it right?
Yeah, something like that. It says there is joy in the presence of the angels over one repentant sinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Over one repentant. I'd have to look it up. Have you got Young's Analytical Concordance?
No. Yeah.
Okay, well, look it up. Just go back there. There's joy in that. Just look. I mean, you got to look through a lot of things, but you'll find it in there. You might even have a concordance in the back of your Bible. I can't remember where it was. See, a few years ago now, Bill, I could have told you that.
Yeah.
But I can't anymore. Forgetter. My forgetter works overtime now.
It works better than it used to.
It works a lot better than it used to.
You going to bring your axe next week?
You know, I brought it the other day, but you didn't come. That's when you were sick. I brought it, and I played, and you weren't here.
I had to go back to the doctor twice over this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and let's go out into the world and do something eternal this week. And I hope you learn something from this. Brother David, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?